Recording is now on.
Okay, I'm going to call this meeting to order. We have Chief Monroe here to give a report on COVID-19 preparations, and he's on duty tonight, so I want to try to get to that pretty quickly. So I'm going to kind of go through the beginning of this pretty briefly. David is recording the meeting. The members for tonight are the Board of Selectmen and the Town Administrator and the Fire Rescue Chief. I will go through the procedures for the public when we get down to a place where we need to use them. And with that, I would just like to do a quick roll call. The task here is to make sure that everybody can hear and be heard. I'm trying a new setup tonight. If my audio is not clear to anybody, let me know. So, Mr. Corson.
I'm here, and the audio is clearest ever.
Yeah, good. Ms. Damon.
Here.
Mr. Dyer.
Here.
Mr. Hill.
Here.
Mr. Main is here. And I'll also ask the members not on the board to weigh in. Marjorie, can you just weigh in? And
I'm here.
Thank you. Here. Ralph, could you just acknowledge that you're here?
I'm here.
Okay. I believe we can all hear and be heard. Okay. With that.
Chris Alphonse on too. Did you miss
Chris?
Oh,
I'm sorry. Chris. Yes, I did. I apologize, Chris. Thank you, David.
I'm here.
Thank you. And you are taking minutes.
I am.
Okay. Okay. The next item on the agenda is public comments for items not on the agenda. I think I'm going to, if there's no objection, I'm going to move that down and let Ralph get in on the report here. Is that acceptable to everybody?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Ralph, so what we're looking for in the reports is kind of what your department's been doing to prepare for the COVID-19. I know you've been doing an awful lot of things. Just give us a quick rundown of how your department's been preparing.
Well, everybody knows the biggest priority has been trying to somehow fix the CTC issue that we're having. That's at the state now. It's kind of out of my hands. I actually tried to get a call back from Mr. Van Note. He's the director of transportation at the state. He hasn't called me back today, so I got no news on that front. We are doing quite a bit of work at the station with a lot of volunteer help as far as trying to get the washing machine hooked up so when we transport one of these people that we can wash our clothes afterwards. That's part of the procedure. The gray water system is in. It's not operational yet, but it's in, working on insulation and covering it over. The water is hooked up to the washing machine. Tomorrow I'm going to help work on the electrical, get that hooked up, and get a plug-in for a dryer as well, which Nathan Doughty's actually donating, I believe, or we're borrowing it. I don't know how that's working yet. We have all the policies in place on how to decon and everything. That was actually a fairly easy task. And we're still working on supplies through the state and the government. We currently have enough, obviously. That hasn't changed. We haven't had to transport any of these patients. But I fully intend that or expect that we will have to in the future. That's about all I have to report on that. Does anybody have any questions?
Ralph?
Go ahead, David, Donna, and then Jay.
Ralph, did I understand you to say that any of the patients you transport or any number of them would need transfusions on the trip?
What do you mean? You mean a transfusion?
I thought I heard you say transfusing. Maybe I misunderstood.
Maybe I misspoke. No, we will. No, I don't. No.
Okay,
no
good.
Confusions.
I was just wondering, I didn't know about the person in transportation that you were called at the state. Could you explain that to me, Ralph? Thanks.
Bruce Van Note contacted me Sunday night. He's the director of transportation at the governor's office. He contacted me because he's got numerous letters from members of the community at Chebig, on Chebig. He wanted to know the status, so we had a very good, fairly long conversation, and he said the governor's office is now, as of Monday morning, put this at the top priority to try to resolve the issue we're having with CTC. Their lawyers are involved, and I was hoping to get a update from him today, but I haven't been able to.
Okay, thank you, Ralph. Jay?
Ralph, I don't know if I got a chance to tell you, but in addition to the suits I previously mentioned, I've got 10 XLs and 5 double XL Tyvek suits coming for you. Should have them tomorrow or the next day.
Thank you. That could be a big help.
Okay, Ralph, is there anything, and I know that Jay's been collecting some of these things, is there anything you want to put out to the public as a, anything that you guys need, that like the masks? I read some story anecdotally that what's the term, the N95 or whatever?
Yeah, N95 or greater, N95 or N100.
I read an article that some pottery shops kept those masks for pottery dust. I mean, should people be sort of checking their supplies, or are you pretty much dealing with that on your own?
I think we're good with the masks right now. I feel confident we have enough to deal with what we need to. We just got another box from Mania Mass. I think what we're in need of now are gowns or Tyvek suits. The gowns would be preferable, but Tyvek suits will work. I think that's really the biggest concern as far as protective equipment for personnel.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Chief Monroe? Okay. Thank you very much for coming in and reporting, and thank you also for your continued work and the preparations on so many different fronts that you're involved in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Marjorie, you want to go through your town administrator's report? It's a fairly long report. Belying Marjorie, how much stuff Marjorie has on her plate. So why don't you go ahead and take us through that.
So I'm still working here daily. Chris is coming in and going back and forth between her house and here. Vika's working remotely from home, but she's able to do payroll and a lot of the reports just by logging into her computer here. So, and Gloria is my research guru and my website person, so she's working from home as well. The transfer station is operating normal hours. We had affordable well drilling here last week during the chipping, and they're done now and their equipment is moved off today. I know I did get one complaint about them being here, but they're done now and they're gone. You just got a report from Ralph. I would like to just get a quick motion tonight on the legal budget, just to move to transfer $5,000 from contingency to legal services to make our budget right. If we could do that quickly.
I would make that motion if that helps.
Second. Unmute, please, David.
Second.
Thank you. Is there discussion on the motion?
Could
Go ahead, though.
Yeah. Yep. Just so Marjorie could clarify why we're doing this, why we need to take the money out of.
So we budgeted 7,000.
Go ahead, Marjorie. You have the floor. Yeah.
So we budgeted $7,000. We've expended $10,722 to date. We have $16,000 in contingency. So I'd just like to transfer $5,000 over to our legal budget from contingency.
Okay, is that clear? Go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, just to clarify, that is going toward the bill for the lawyer for the hotel issue. Is that right?
A lot of the legal fees, not all of the $10,700, but a lot of it was for the Firewatch issue.
Okay, just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Okay, any further discussion? I'm not going to open this one up to the public if everybody's okay with that. It seems pretty simple and straightforward. Everybody all right with that?
Yep.
Okay. All in favor of the motion, I will take a roll. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is the yes, passes unanimously.
Moving on, I did get a question from Jen Boleska about changing the date of the town meeting. I did inquire, as Herb pointed out, we voted in 2011 to make the Saturday before state elections our town meeting. I contacted Maine Municipal Legal. I just got that. I've got too many papers here. And he suggests that, he says he doesn't think that a town meeting vote setting a date of the annual town meeting is legally binding. But even with that, I guess with the governor's recent declarations, these dates can be changed by the municipal officers. And I can send you the whole paragraph that he wrote. But
okay, so a topic we should take up as the board.
So, yeah, so moving forward, that is a possibility.
Okay, can I just stop the proceeding for a second? Is anybody else having bandwidth problems and hearing?
Not yet.
Okay. I've had a couple. You all just froze up. It may be just me. Okay, Donna, go ahead.
Yeah, another thing along the line of the election. Marjorie and I had a chat, and she checked into Maine Municipal about how we circulate petitions for vote. You know, if somebody wants to run for office, can't get the word, but you know what I'm talking about.
Nomination papers.
They don't want. Yes. Because we don't want people going door to door. And so maybe Marjorie could report on what she found out, because I think we came up with a good workaround on that.
So the legal department just said there's no other way than for people to get real signatures, but they can be creative in that they can leave the paper somewhere and have people come with their own pen and sign it. But they do have to get original signatures on those nomination papers.
And the number is like 5 signatures or something?
Oh, I thought it was 25.
It's more.
10 to 25?
10, I think, is the.
Christine, can you give us the definitive? You got the definitive on your
time? I think it's 10.
Okay, thank you. I remember that as well.
Okay. Donna, go ahead.
One of the things we thought about is, if somebody wanted to run, they could put it out in social media, or we could announce it on the website or something, but they could put it on the store, and then people could just go up there and sign the petition. And when they got 10 signatures, they'd be good to go. And I think that Christine or Marjorie, I can't remember who, said that they could leave those in the little mailbox there. Somebody could come up and pick them up and then bring them back that way.
Okay,
I think the message. They have to sign something when they come back, Marjorie.
I think the message right now is that if you are interested in putting out nomination papers, contact the town office and they will guide you through the process.
Yeah, they have to pick them up here.
Okay, so go ahead and continue your report. Thank you, Marjorie.
And then we got a few questions about changing the due date, and I called Maine Municipal Legal again. And they said that once the assessor has certified the commitment to the tax collector, that that cannot be changed and the interest rate cannot be changed. And he went on further to say that you can't even go back and have another town meeting and change that. So there really is.
So there's no option to forgive the you know, post, that's what you're saying, after the fact.
That's my understanding from the attorney, yes.
Okay, thank you.
What about the ability to remove late penalties and just kind of do our own delay, if you will?
That is part of the commitment. The commitment to the tax collector from the assessor states what's voted at town meeting, and that's the due dates and the interest rate. So that cannot be changed according to the main municipal attorney.
Thank you.
Just to keep it on the radar, we at some point have to talk about that tax acquired property formerly owned by Coddington, but I don't think it's a priority. At some point, we're going to have to decide about the town meeting and what things that you want in warrant articles on that annual town meeting, but it's a much bigger conversation about when we're going to have it and what's going to be on there. I got a correspondence from Brenda LaPointe. She's interested in selling us her property over by the rec center. Again, I told her that we probably wouldn't be able to address that until a later date.
Okay. Any other questions from Marjorie? Thank you for the very thorough report. Okay, so I will now take any public comments for items not on the agenda. Actually, before I do that, let me explain a little bit about the agenda right now. We are still trying to hit a stride here with holding these meetings in an efficient way and getting everybody to participate in an efficient way. So the agenda that was posted for this meeting had two sort of general, very generalized topics: take any action regarding COVID-19 and take any other action. I hope as we go forward, I can get a little bit more specific on the agendas than that. We always try to, so that you have good notification of what we're going to be talking about. But we're having weekly meetings now, and things are moving so fast that it's been difficult to do that. So I ask you to bear with us and try to understand that we're trying to be as transparent as possible. And I will make every effort to get these things on the agenda in the most expedient way that we can. My plan right now is when we get into regular business to go over the agenda with the Board of Selectmen in its entirety, and which is only five or six items. It's not huge. And get the board to sign off on taking up those things so that we kind of set the agenda together at the beginning of that process. And then I'll try to stick to that. So with that, I would take any questions, any public comment for items that don't appear to be on the agenda. And if I think they are, I will let you know. Okay, I see a couple of hands up. Deb Bowman. David, I don't seem to be a co-host.
Oh. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Let's see here.
Bear with us 1 second.
I believe you're a co-host. Now you're a co-host. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Deb Bowman, go ahead.
Thank you, committee, for putting up the COVID-19 update on the town Feb's webpage and then the link to the town. If we would like to add to that or edit it, who is the contact person?
Donna is heading a committee that is sort of orchestrating that. In terms of the page that's up there right now, I believe Marjorie is still basically in control of it. So I think either one of those sources. Is that correct?
You can send it to me, Dan.
Okay, thank you.
Donna, go ahead.
Just to clarify, I'm not the chairman of that committee. It's David Hill and Melissa.
Oh, I'm sorry, I misspoke. On the committee.
That's so, okay. No problem. So I just want, but I'm happy to receive information.
Well, what's your recommendation?
Beverly and Lila are in charge of communication.
Okay.
That's the subcommittee of the big one.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. Okay. Thank you, Deb. Carol White. You need to unmute and then you can speak.
Trying to unmute, but.
Okay. Can you hear me
now?
Yeah, we can hear you. We got you.
So, I don't know. I sent an email with my comments just to make it easier for you guys. But basically, I had three things that I was hoping you would take up under the COVID-19 agenda item. And the first one was, Ralph gave us a report on the refusal to transport, kind of the status, so that's covered. But the other part of that is, right now on the state, on the town website, it says that CDL will transport individuals from, should be for COVID-19 testing. But what I don't understand, and I don't want to get into a big debate tonight, I just don't understand how logistically that would work, because there's a very limited Casco Bay Line schedule. Then if you got to the Casco Bay Lines terminal in Portland, you have no transportation. I understand there's not much available for any taxi or public transportation. So I just don't understand how it's feasible for someone to go in and get tested for COVID-19 by Casco Bay Lines. Then my
we will be taking those up under the COVID-19 item. So we'll be speaking then about these.
What's your question?
We do have an item on the agenda. This is for comments, not for items not on the agenda. We do have an item on the agenda.
Okay, so you're telling me I should give these comments later?
I think so, unless you're commenting on items not on the agenda.
I don't know. I don't know what's on the agenda.
COVID-19 response is one of the items.
Well, I guess these are COVID-19 related questions, but not necessarily response. Is that...
Yeah, can I ask you to do it later?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, and Julia Main. Wait a minute. No, we can't, Julia, we can't hear you. Okay, I understand from the other room that my daughter wants to speak later. And I've turned somebody on there unintentionally. There you go, okay. I apologize. So this is for public comments for items not on the agenda. We will be taking up COVID-19 response items in an agenda. And I promise we will get to the questions as they were coming. Any other items from the public on topics that are not on the agenda, which generally would not include COVID-19 at this point. Okay, seeing none. Thank you all. So with that, we can get right into the regular business, which is that item. And the way, what I want to do to start this process out is to go through the items that to agree, have the board agree on the items that we want to take up and understand them. And it sounds like I ought to open it up to the public at that point, do that with the board's permission and see if there's any other items that they would like us to take up. Is that a reasonable way to proceed here with everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we have in our packets, we have a resolution that David Hill is bringing to us, two resolutions that David Hill is bringing to us, and those would be the first item on the agenda. We have a document or a statement that Jay is bringing to us that's also in the packet, and that would be on the agenda. Based on an email that we all received earlier from Julia, and this may be what she was going to say, I would like to put a discussion of the emergency management ordinance. I think it's a timely discussion to have. In her correspondence, she asked us to invoke it immediately. But even if we choose not to do that, I think it's timely for us to go over the details of that, what the advantage and possible disadvantages would be. So I'd like to put that on the agenda. The town meeting and elections, I had as a tentative agenda item here, but based on Marjorie's input, I do think it's a longer discussion. I'll take the board's recommendation. I will allow discussion on that, but I don't plan on putting it on the agenda tonight. I'll put it probably next week, and we can do a little bit of preparation for it. Transfer of funds, we already took care of. That was my other topic. The only other thing I want on the agenda tonight is a discussion about the budget work that we're involved in when this all hit. Certainly this pandemic has changed the economic landscape in many ways. And so under the non-COVID-19, well, it really is part of the COVID-19 discussion. I would like to have a discussion on where we're at with the budget. I don't see an action item on that tonight, but I think it's important for us to sort of agree that we maybe need to take into consideration the pandemic as we go forward with the budget. So are there any other items besides those 1, 2, 3? So that's David's resolutions, Jay's document, emergency management ordinance, and a budget discussion that the board would like to add. Donna.
Yes, I sent an email this afternoon, I don't know if anybody got it, about talking about alternate plans, and I would like to be able to discuss that.
Can you give us a brief idea? I guess I didn't see that. Can you give us a brief idea?
It was about
idea?
Nathan. I had a long conversation with Nathan Doughty, and he said that I could share that with the board, and I wanted to do that.
So this is specifically the EMS transport?
I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Sorry, that's my bad. So this is specifically about the EMS transport?
It's putting something in a context. I mean, did anybody get that? I know Jay's bounced back.
Marjorie, shake your head.
Mark, so it did go out.
I don't think I
got it. Yeah, I don't mind taking it up. I'm just trying to get clarification. Mark, did you want to speak?
Okay, that's all.
Herb, I just wanted to ask you and Donna, wouldn't that conversation kind of, if we decide to have it tonight, wouldn't that conversation kind of fit under the COVID-19, not really response, but transportation?
It could potentially... It could potentially fit under the resolutions, because the resolutions deal with the EMS transport. We could take it up then. If you want a separate item, that's fine. Go ahead.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be a separate item. I just wanted to make sure I could talk about it. And everybody who sent in emails was getting a chance to be on the agenda, so I didn't know if that's what you wanted to do. So I'm fine either way, as long as I can share the information.
If it doesn't come up under David's resolution discussion, you can certainly take it up later than that. As an EMS transport item. Anything else from the Board of Selectmen? I will take the Board of Selectmen's advice. Do we want to hear from the public on agenda items? We're not obligated to do that. Do you want to hear what other ideas were out there, or do you want to wait until we get into these discussions?
I'd say open the floor, see if there's anything else.
Any objection to that?
No.
Okay. I will now open the floor up. And Carol, if you're listening, I will take you first because I cut you off in the other context. Not raising her hand, she may have stepped away from the computer. I will open it up to any members of the other
show. Can you hear me?
I can. Go ahead.
Yeah. You just got to give people a second here.
Yeah, okay.
So I sent some public comments to the selectmen just to make it easier so you could read them. But basically, the first one I already mentioned is about, it just doesn't seem feasible to me to go Casco Bay Lines to get testing for COVID-19, because there's a lot of logistical challenges with that. The second one is, I'll just read it quickly. Last weekend, as was observed by many community members, day trippers came over on the CTT ferry to Chabig to ride bikes and to visit the beaches. A group of three brought their bikes over and back on Saturday on the stern of the boat. This is despite the fact that the town of Chabig resolution calls for travel to and from the mainland only for essential reasons, and the state of Maine state of emergency enacted by Governor Mills. A day trip to Chabig for a hike or bike ride, as far as I'm concerned, does not qualify as essential. Some individuals have to ride the ferry back and forth to go to work or to complete essential tasks in the mainland, and I think it's unfair to subject them to this potential exposure. CTC's disregard for the safety of their employees and the public, to me, is reckless and pretty disappointing. And should the CTC stop selling day tickets? Yep. Today, Governor Mills enacted a stay-at-home order, which includes even more restrictions on travel. So if CTC is unwilling to comply with the town's resolution and the governor's stay-at-home order, I ask that the selectmen take the action necessary, including enforcement, to protect the crew and the community from this type of unnecessary exposure. Then the last thing is, the third item is freight delivery at Casco Bay Lines. And it's just an observation that the current situation when freight is delivered to Chandler's down at with Casco Bay Lines is a little bit chaotic. And because so many more people are shipping groceries back and forth, or groceries and supplies, you know, there's often 20 or 30 people down there waiting for the boat to come in. And, you know, they tend to congregate because it's natural when you're all standing there waiting for the boat. And, you know, then the crew jumps off and there's a crowd of people there waiting to grab all their stuff, all their freight. So it seems like we should give some guidance to the community, you know, through some kind of suggestions about how they should operate down there, which would be to basically stay away from, you know, give the crew, the CBL crew, plenty of room to work and get their stuff off the boat. And then maybe suggest that people, you know, go one by one to grab their freight, not as a group to pull stuff out of the off the pallet or out of the basket, whatever's there. So it's not a huge thing, but it's you know, it's again something that might require a little bit of attention. That's it.
Okay, so my understanding, if I can recap, you're looking for the board to take up three topics. One would be a report on the EMS transport, which I think will come up under the first item that we're going to take up.
That's not really EMS transport. That's someone going in for COVID-19 testing, which is not an EMS transport.
Okay, so you're looking for something that goes beyond EMS, also including the other one. Okay, got it. Day trippers and recreational visitors to Chabig. You're looking for some response from the selectmen on that, and freight delivery at Casco Bay Lines, some controls on that. Okay. Thank you very much. Board, have you got any questions for Carol before I...
This is my question, ahead. But I have an answer.
Let's not get into it. Okay. Yeah, let's figure out if we want to add it to the agenda. We're still trying to compile the agenda and see if we think those are going to fall under the discussions of whether we need separate agenda items.
I think they're part of the discussion, aren't they?
The discussion right now is setting the agenda. That's what we're talking about. And she's asked us to take on these three things. So I don't want to address them. I just want to figure out if we want to take them up as agenda items and then move forward. I don't want to get bogged down in this, but I do want to make sure we cover the ground that people feel like we need to cover. So let's keep those in the back burner. Are there any more public comments or agenda items that the public would like to see us take up? I don't see any hands. David, do you?
I do not see any other hands.
Okay.
Oh, there's Carol White again.
Okay. Actually, Julia.
This is, yeah. So I know you guys, you know, read my email that I had sent this morning, and you're going to talk about the, you know, whether or not you're going to declare a state of emergency or not. But the second thing that I said in that email was I was asking about how the town would be notified if someone out here, a resident, or, you know, there's a lot of non-residents who are out here too, would be notified by CDC if someone got infected. And Marjorie did respond and essentially said that we would not be notified. There's a possibility we could know, but we won't be notified. And so I just want to know, what are you guys going to do as a town? How are you going to find out if somebody gets infected? And how would you let the rest of the community know?
Okay, thank you. I think that will be taken up when we do the report on the EMS transport and if we add Carol's discussion about the non-EMS transport. So let's
Herb, if I may. Erica Newman is trying to raise her hand, but she's on a phone. I'm not sure if there's a way to do that. If you could recognize Erica, she's the one with just the phone number or the name.
*9 should raise your hand. This would be a good test. Erica, if you
there you go. Try *9, Erica.
There it is. I can see your hand now. Thank you, Erica, for your persistence. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, Selectman. This is actually just an addition to what Julia brought up. I was interested in what the town's position is on public reporting, how it might model how Governor Mills is reporting every day at 11:30 with the main CDC director, and the same categories. The county is also reporting, which would be, in my belief, the more information causes support and less rumors, and lack of information is a cause of most stress. So that the report, I wonder if the selectmen would consider having a report that models them. I believe their categories are reported COVID-19 cases, recovered COVID-19 cases, hospitalized, and deaths. And I would be interested in a discussion of the pros and cons. That would be the topic. Thank you. I'll mute now.
So I'm not sure I understand.
We don't get that information. It all goes through the county emergency management. We don't get known cases. We don't get positive. We don't get information on people that are tested positive or recovered or anything like that.
We get it all from the CDC.
I'm sorry, the town does not receive that information directly. It all goes through the county.
And is reported at the county level.
Right, right.
Okay, thank you, Erica. Okay, any more hands on items we should cover?
I think we're good.
Okay, seeing none, thank you. Okay, so it sounds like what we should do is add an agenda item, and I'm suggesting we do it at the top, which kind of gives a report on our progress on addressing especially the EMS transport issue, but in our communications with the Chesapeake Transportation Company, and include in that any information we have. And Marjorie, you can underscore the information you may or may not have on notifications of cases, which I think you just reiterated it again, but we'll state it clearly in that agenda item. So I think the only thing I'm looking at adding, what about the other items on Carol's list? Should we take up tonight the topic of bringing freight over on the Casco Bay lines and what that operation is down there? Or should we refer to that to the committee, or should we take it up tonight? Go ahead, Donna.
Either way, I just think that Carol's brought up a good point. I haven't been down there to see it, but what she's describing, I believe, and I think that we could maybe either talk about it tonight and come up with some paragraph that we could give the committee so they can add it to the update, or just refer it to the committee, whichever.
Okay, so let's take up, in general, let's take up, should the Board of Selectmen take up public, you know, congregations of people in public and provide some Shabig specific directions or statements or ask the committee or somebody else to do that. So let's put that on there as a separate agenda item. And I'll probably will put that before we take up, I'll probably put that last when we take up the after we take up the emergency management ordinance. So I'm just gonna try to make myself a note and people could do the same and try and keep me honest in this. Okay, and am I missing anything? I think the other items for Carol can come up under the resolution, or we may need to expand it into a separate discussion on the non-EMS transport. Herb? Anything else? Yes, Don.
I can get some clarification on that day tripper thing. I've talked to a couple of CTC people, and they're actually working on that, eliminating those trips, but they haven't, the whole full board hasn't dealt with it yet. So I think that's in the works.
So you suggest that we don't pick that up?
Well, I mean, we can talk about it, but, you know, I think it's in the works.
Okay. All right. And then the day tripper thing was another one. That would be a separate item. That's not really covered under anything we're talking about. Does the board want to take up
Actually, that's what I was talking, I was talking about, oh, sorry. I was talking about the day tripper thing. That's what they're working on.
Is CTC working on it?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you said Casco Bay.
No, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. Okay, so what's the board's pleasure? Do we want to take those up as separate items or not?
I would defer the day tripper thing until we hear what they've come up with.
Okay, it affects both ferry companies, really, so we probably ought to send a consistent message to both of them and not just wait for one that, I don't know, it doesn't make sense to sort of suggest it to one and not the other, right? I mean, it should be a policy that's not specific to the Casco Bay Lines or CTC. It should be a policy that we're asking all ferry companies and water taxis not to bring day trippers over if that's our intent.
Yeah. It's reasonable.
All right, let's take it up as a separate item then. I'll just put day trippers and we'll see if we feel we need to make a statement of any kind. Okay, are we ready to go? So with that, I just wanted to start off the report and with sort of a description of what an update of what we've done, and then ask for various people to report. We had a meeting with CTC you're gonna have to help me with the date. I think it was Sunday afternoon. No, it was before that. Mark, when did you and David meet with CTC?
We met with them on Friday, and the other group met with them on Sunday.
Okay, and David was part of both groups.
And then again on Monday.
And then another meeting on Monday. Okay, and that those groups entailed slightly different configurations of people. I don't know that we need to get into that. It is the communication line that we are trying to keep open with CTC to address the concerns that we have. We are at that point. Chief Monroe also, as he reported, had some communications based on inquiries he got from the state in terms of some of the specific things, and basically some assurance that the state is working on the issues. And Marjorie has talked with a couple of state officials. Can you give us a quick rundown, Marjorie, of what you discussed?
I emailed and spoke with Kathy Breen on the telephone. And I've corresponded with Hannah Pingree.
Okay.
I think those are the only two that I've had direct contact with.
Okay. So that's sort of the communication lines that we have enabled right now. Chief Monroe is talking to the Coast Guard and to the Department of Transportation, trying to talk about EMS transport. Marjorie has been fielding emails and providing responses to those two state representatives. And the group that includes right now David and Jay, and is also Mark, has also participated in these, is trying to keep communication lines open with CTC. And as I mentioned before, Donna and David are both involved in a committee that is reaching out to island organizations and trying to help coordinate things and focus resources on that front. So that's what the town has been doing for COVID-19 response. Is there anything that David, Jay, Marjorie, Mark, or Donna would like to sort of briefly add at this point? Jay, go ahead.
I don't know. Well, I had an email, or David and I both had the email from John Rent at 3:40 this afternoon, roughly. And basically, the email tells us that we have gone absolutely nowhere. He starts out with CTC's policy of March 18th remains unchanged. They have retained a counsel to assist them in reviewing its contractual and legal obligations under maritime law. Discussions with legal counsel are ongoing. CTC is working on an updated notice to the community. We are also working on additional ways for community members to go to the mainland for COVID-19 testing. This is the same essential response with different language, except for when David and I met with John Rand and Michael Hollander on Monday, and we came away with, they had three impediments to providing the service that they've always provided, and that they, we'll leave it there. One was that the crew had not bought into the town's EMS protocol. Secondly, the insurance issue. And thirdly, they wanted Coast Guard approval. In the meantime, the Coast Guard commander, Jason Boyer, has talked to Matt as the marine manager and basically said they would not, I'm reading this from the email, we would not pursue any violations for the captain or crew of the vessel solely for transporting COVID-19 potential/symptomatic patients. He goes on to say he had talked to Matt this morning and discussed this with him and reiterated the Coast Guard stance with regards to transporting potential possible patients. He also went on to say that major passenger ferries had a procedure and practice in place for safe transport and so forth and so on. I had emailed John after I read that and asked him if that solved his problem with the Coast Guard and if they were buying in to the EMS protocol. And the answer I got back from that, I don't have the exact words in front of me, but basically he didn't really respond to the Coast Guard question, and they hadn't gotten to discussing with the crew whether they were willing to accept the EMS protocol, which seems a little strange because it's strictly a medical protocol and in compliance with CDC and reviewed by an epidemiologist should be a no-brainer, but they managed to seem to have some issues with it. So the bottom line is that after several meetings, follow-up, we are nowhere except that they have put another layer in between us and a solution. So
okay.
That leads us to some of the things that David wants to present tonight and some of the things I want to present.
Okay. I do have another letter that I was remiss in not referring to that we all received today at 2 p.m. from Doug Ross. Does the board want me to read that letter, or can I summarize it, or what's your pleasure? Should I read it in for the record?
I would say read it into the record. It kind of reflects a lot of what we're hearing.
Okay. So this, again, comes to the Board of Selectmen. Chief Monroe is copied on it. Actually, it came to me with the Board of Selectmen and Chief Monroe copied on it. So I'll just read the letter down. Herb, I am addressing you as the chairman of the Board of Selectmen. I do have trouble loading some other emails, so I hope this gets out to all. I've CC'd Steve Affont as the Shadig Fire Rescue Administrative Assistant. I'm sorry, I missed him. To Marjorie Stratton as the Town Administrator, and to Ralph Monroe as Shebig's Fire and Rescue Chief. I sent out an open email letter last week to the general public asking that the CTC withdraw their policy of not allowing to transport positive COVID-19 patients on their vessels. I had nothing but positive feedback from the general public in agreement to my open letter. I wasn't looking for feedback as much as a point of information for many. I still strongly believe that reversing their decision is absolutely the right thing for this community at this time. We probably can debate for some time about insurance companies, Coast Guard, Long Island, etc. I can throw the HIPAA Act in there too, which would really put a spin on the situation. I won't though, although I think I just did. To date, I haven't heard word one from CTC to the general public. Maybe rumors of a discussion among their board members, but certainly no changes to that policy for better or for worse. I can only conclude that the CTC is not going to change their policy if it isn't moving in what I deem a positive direction. I am puzzled by what is going on. At this point in time, I would ask the Board of Selectmen to consider in a statement or resolution that you disagree to the policy of the CTC. And this is only if the majority of you feel that way, and that you'll take action against the Shebig Transportation Company to reverse this decision with whatever means possible. We need their service. If we've been doing this wrong for all these years, let us address that at a later date. I realize that you all by fate have been thrown into a most unenviable situation. I wish nothing but the best of outcomes for all involved. Thank you, Doug Rush, Big Island. So I said I would represent his letter for him, but there you have it, word for word. So that's sort of where we stand with that report and community response. There's been lots of anecdotal responses, but I haven't received any other formal letters. I would invite if anybody on the board has something sort of more formal that hasn't been discussed tonight to bring it up at this point. Okay. So let's get into the first. So that was the first agenda item, which was a report of our status. Anybody have anything to add to that? There's no action to take. It's just to hear the report. Donna?
I just have a clarification about, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Clarifying, I think it was Jay when he was talking about the Coast Guard guy, the comments that he had made. It sounded to me like that was referring to people who are going for testing on the boat or people who might be riding on the boat. It wasn't specific about EMS. So I'm just wondering what their take is on the actual EMS versus. There's really two issues that we're talking about. One is the casual person who goes on the boat, who may have it, who's going for testing. And the other was, it was actually an EMS. And it didn't say anything about EMS, I don't think, in what he read. Does somebody have that email or that copy of that?
I may be able to get it, but I will let you know that Ralph's almost only concern is EMS transport. His discussions are centered on that in all facets. Go ahead, Marjorie.
When I read it, it read for both the way I read it. They were talking about either or.
Okay. I'm going to try to find it, but I
have it.
Oh, you
go ahead,
okay.
Jay.
Allow me to read it again.
Thank you. Thank you.
we would not pursue any violations for the captain or crew of the vessel solely for transporting COVID-19 potential slash symptomatic patients. I talked to Matt this morning and discussed all this with him and reiterated the Coast Guard stance with regards to transporting potentially positive patients. I also told him that other major ferry, passenger ferries, have a procedure in place for the safe transport of patients with due regard to segregation, decontamination, etc. Please let me know what else you need. I hope you guys can work it out and get a process in place. Here to help if I can. Have a great week, Jason Boyer.
Okay.
So I would go back to what Marjorie said. It covers everything.
Okay. Do we want to open, Carol Sebastiansky has her hand up. Do we want to open up this first agenda item to public comment?
Might as well.
Okay. I will do that. There are a couple hands up. I'm going to allow Carol to talk. You're on, Carol. You should be able to go ahead, Carol. Just give her a second. Carol, we can't hear you yet. David, are you trying to unmute her?
I'm trying to unmute her. There she is. She should be live now.
Carol, can you speak?
You must be muted at your end, Carol.
It doesn't show it. If you want to call in, we'd be happy to hear you, or if there's some other alternative. Or call David and see if you can work out the
communication. Yeah, it's got to be a setting on Carol's end because it was opened up here.
Okay. Maybe she could text you, David.
Well, she can also do it, yeah. She can do a text online here, chat.
All right. Well, let's move forward. I suggest that Carol Sebastiansky, you give David Hill a call and try and work out the technical detail. And we'll be. Why don't you try to raise your hand again? And we'll just try one more time. Okay. Let me unmute. Are you there?
Well, she's unmuted.
Yeah, okay, there's something going on. All right, Carol, if you want to try a different avenue back in, we would be happy to hear you.
Send me a text and I'll read the text online here.
Okay. I'm going to move forward, but if I see your hand again, I'm going to lower all hands. Steve, I'll ask you to raise yours again just to clear it. Okay. And Carol, if I see your hand again, we'll try again. Okay, Steve Afon.
Good evening. Just want to make sure you can hear me.
Yeah, we can.
Thank you. Being active in the fire department, I feel compelled to speak. 1 week following up on the issue with CTC, it's been a week now. I'm very concerned specifically with the EMS aspect. Not that the other topics that you have brought up are not important, I'm not saying that, but I think we need to stay focused on the EMS resolved the CTC, with the CTC. Part of my other concern is with EMS, I think sometimes people lose track as to who the rescue EMS workers are and what they do. I for the life of me, I cannot understand how Casco Bay Lines can feel that they would be medically able to decide whether someone's positive or not. And that's not their role. And then furthermore, when someone were to call 911, our EMS team on Shabig is directly involved with the patient. They are not to share a patient's condition, whether they have a heart attack or a broken bone or something like that, with anyone. Only their care team in the ambulance is involved with the direct care of the patient. It's no one else's business as to why that person is going to the hospital. And I think we get caught up on that sometimes. Furthermore, I would like to say two more things. With that, when a patient is being transported, it's the EMS's role to decide how that patient needs to be transported off of Shabik, depending on the condition of the patient. They may need a helicopter. They may need to go by Long Island or CTC. But the only person that should decide that is our EMS crew, not insurance companies or Casco Bay Lines or any of us, only the people that are working with the patient at that time. So I would like to encourage the board to stay focused on resolving the problem. Having a week go by and not having any movement or change with CTC, I believe the town will need to do something further and much more stronger, maybe even further more than a resolution. And I really think and hope that the board can come up with alternative ways, because to go another week is very concerning. We have not had a case yet, but the longer we wait to resolve this, I am very, very concerned. And I would hope that the board seriously focuses on what other legal options the town of Shabig has, because it's very important that we have the ability to use CTC when it's needed. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, I'm going to, I see Carol Sebastiansi's hand back, so I'm going to try her again.
Okay.
You're there. We can hear you. Thank you.
Okay, I had to switch from my computer to my phone, but.
Okay.
Okay, so Jay's reading of that email had to do with whether the captains could be personally liable for transporting. It has nothing to do with the company's situation. So what the Coast Guard's position is, and I will read you the email, and perhaps you don't have it, and this came directly from the prevention commander at the Coast Guard in South Portland, and this is, quote, "If someone on the island is in need of emergency medical transport, the ferry should not be the first response option. The crew is not trained for this type of event, and the vessel may not be outfitted for this type of event. That being said, medical emergencies should be defined and agreed on by those on the island making the calls. I provided Marjorie the number of the Coast Guard Command Center, which is our 24/7, 365 watch stander." So what Jay read is irrelevant to the topic of whether the company can legally, well, I won't say legally, but can transport patients in a medical situation. It had to do with whether or not the captain could be held personally liable. That's number one. Number two, 3 weeks ago, we were informed by EMS on Shabig Island that if there were a COVID-19 patient emergency call, that there was a special screening device, screening protocol that the dispatch would use. And the dispatch would pre-screen whether or not that person is a possible COVID-19 patient. And in that case, that patient would be transported by Long Island. That is not something we initiated. That was initiated by the rescue chief. Why that changed, we don't have an answer. So I'm still waiting for an answer on why Long Island was the best option 3 weeks ago, and now it's just CTC. So I would encourage the selectmen, instead of focusing on CTC, to focus on what other transport means you have, including Long Island, the Coast Guard, and possibly the Portland Fireboat, which I don't know if you guys have even contacted, so that we are not exposing our crew and our other passengers to this virus.
Okay, thank you, Carol. Questions for Carol? Go ahead, David.
Carol, what you just read indicates to me that we've been doing things wrong for 50 years and that CTC should not be involved in rescues of any kind in the future. Is that the way you read that?
I think the Coast Guard is concerned that a passenger vessel transport rescue patients. That's irrelevant to this particular issue. The particular issue we have is whether or not we should transport people who, in an emergency situation, are likely to be COVID-19 patients. I'm not talking what we're going to do for the next 50 years, David. I'm talking about right now. And there are
What you read that said the Coast Guard disapproved of medical services being provided. And it did not say just for COVID.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes.
That concerns me, and I also would question, they're saying something about the captain being involved as a part of the rescue team. The captain is really no more than an ambulance driver in a mainland situation. I don't understand the context of that statement, really.
Well, the context is perhaps because you don't understand a lot of the maritime law, but in fact, a captain has a personal liability for what happens on his boat. Beyond what the company is liable for, he has a personal liability for what happens on the boat. Maritime law, and I'm sure you know this because you worked at CTC, is very different. There are about 12 insurers in this whole country who write these types of insurance. And you know what? They are excluding COVID-19 from transport. So it's not like going from Geico to Progressive. This is a huge issue. But to answer your question directly, the captains are personally liable for what happens on a vessel. And so Ralph, I don't know why Ralph called Jason and asked him that particular question about the captain's liability. I have no idea. But that's what Jason was answering. And Jason did say that we should not be transporting COVID-19 passengers. Absolutely.
Well then I have to ask, how is CTC different from every other ferry boat, whether it's in Casco Bay or Washington or anywhere else, faced with the same dilemma? Because it seems to me that those rules, if they're not applied evenly, it makes no sense. So what's the rest of the world doing?
Okay, well, CTC is not different from every other ferry company. The people, the other ferry companies, for the most part, transport people in their vehicle because they have a car ferry, and they have protocol for that. If somebody feels, this is the testing part again. If somebody feels sick, they feel they might have COVID-19, they go in their vehicle. Casco Bay Lines does not offer rescue services.
I would ask Marjorie, who has a little bit of experience with such transportation, what's the deal on Vinyl Haven? Do they take all the rescues off in their personal cars?
The Main State Ferry Service for Vinyl Haven, if the transport is on the ferry, the ambulance drives on the ferry and drives off the ferry. My experience with Vinyl Haven and the Coast Guard is that it takes an average of 2 hours just to get the Coast Guard to release a boat, and about average of 3 hours to actually get to Vinyl Haven, which is a 45-minute boat ride. And so my experience in rescue with the Coast Guard has not been good at all. So,
okay, I'm going to interject here. These details have been talked about with a much smaller group. I don't think this is the venue to try to address and solve those particular details. There are many, many details. There are many concerns that CTC has. There are many concerns that our citizens have. We have really tried to open up communication lines, and we hope that CTC continues to speak with us in good faith, bring the word, bring the concerns that we have to their board of directors, and our people bring the concerns that CTC has to us. And we are definitely trying to work out the many details. And we have tried to comply with the requests as CTC has presented them. And we have made no requests up to this date for CTC. We haven't suggested that CTC should get their policy reviewed by Maine EMS, since they transfer other medical patients or anything like that. We're really trying to work this out in good faith, and I think it must be done in a smaller group. So what I would like to do, with the board's permission, is close the public comment and move forward into the first agenda or the second agenda item. Is the board going to do that?
Yes.
Can I just speak about something not having to do with it? I wanted to answer a question that Steve Olfont raised, because I think people may be confused. Can I? And Marjorie had asked me to call Casco Bay Lines.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
So the story with Casco Bay Lines is, if you call your doctor and your doctor says, I think you should come in for a test, this is not like you're dying, but you think you might have it, then Casco Bay Lines has a segregated place on their boat. So you can go to Chandler's Cove, get in, go on the boat. And I'll tell you my own personal plan. I have a niece who will bring my car into Custom House Wharf if this happens, because we just made up our own plan, and leave it there for us, and then we'll go to the doctors. So it's not anything about EMS. They're not taking EMS. They're not evaluating anybody. All this is totally voluntary, to give the people in Casco Bay a way to get to port, to the mainland, in a way that's not going to contaminate anybody else. So I just wanted to clarify that. I think that Marjorie wrote that up in her great memo that's on the website, but just so that everybody's on the same page. Thank you.
Yep. And thank you for mentioning the website again. I noticed there were a number of changes today, and somebody else mentioned it earlier. The town staff is really trying to get the information out there, and they could put it on the forefront. Marjorie's done a great job in pulling information together. I encourage you to go there. I also encourage you to go to the Maine CDC for relevant information. Okay, so I would like to move on to the second agenda item, and I would hand that to David to present.
Thank you, Herb. What I've done, and I haven't done this before, I'm going to try to share my screen with a resolution. Okay.
I can do it if you want.
No, well, there it is.
There it is.
So let me just read this for the record. Resolution of the town of Chabig Island regarding emergency medical transports. Let me see, I've got to move this so I can see it better. Yeah, good. Whereas the town of Chabig Island, the nation, and the world are now facing a global pandemic of unheard of proportions, and whereas the Chabig Transportation Company, CTC, a 501c3 corporation, has provided an essential service and saved many lives transporting rescue patients from the unbridged island of Chabig to the mainland for almost 50 years at no cost to the patients. Whereas CTC has entered into a memorandum of understanding with the town of Chabig Island dated 9/18/2008, stating that, quote, CTC will transport by boat any sick or injured patients being in the care of Chabig Island Fire and Rescue, unquote. And whereas CTC was recognized by the legislature of the state of Maine in recognition of CTC's emergency medical transportation services, and whereas CTC already transports non-rescue passengers who may test positive for the COVID-19 virus with or without the passenger's knowledge, therefore be it resolved that the town of Chabig Island implores CTC to continue to safely transport all rescue patients, including COVID-19 patients, using appropriate personal protection equipment and protocols on either the Independence or the Islander. This is a draft, and if we were to pass it by unanimous vote, that would be great. And if not, it would be given by majority vote of its Board of Selectmen. So that's where we are. This is it's intended to be a nice way to say, look, here's what we can, this is what we have for history, 50 years of saving people and saving people's lives. And let's continue that. And okay. I'll take it off the screen if, unless there's anybody who wants to leave it on.
Okay. You can reshare it if we need to.
Indeed.
Okay.
So, I will make that as a motion to adopt that resolution regarding emergency transport to Chabig Island, from Chabig Island.
Okay. I'll second it.
Okay, thank you, Jay. Is there discussion from the board on that motion? Donna?
I have a question. I mean, I'm happy that people are going to continue to talk about it. I don't know if the words implore them to continue to safely transport. I mean, I think they should, they're not saying they're not going to take rescue patients. But I guess my bigger question is, Marjorie suggested this afternoon that maybe we needed to confer with our attorney. It seems like I've only been in the periphery of this, but I'm suggesting that we maybe try to get an executive session with the town attorney as soon as possible, and maybe table this for a day, and maybe we can meet with them tomorrow and get some questions answered, because I don't know how far we can actually, I guess I'm not sure where we are.
We could proclaim anything.
Yeah, we can do
both. I know we can proclaim it, but I know, but I mean, I just think that I just feel like we need maybe some advice here. Because we're all talking with our hearts, and we all want the best for everybody. And I'm thinking maybe this is the time that we talk to our attorney.
Okay. Any other comments from the board? Mark?
Herb, I'm kind of curious about the state's involvement now and how effective we hope that might be helping us resolve this local disagreement, I guess. It seems to me that listening to Chief Monroe when he gave his report, it definitely sounded to me like he was expecting a return phone call sounded like the governor's office. Is that accurate, Marjorie?
Yes, we've had discussions with Bruce Van Note, who is the DOT commissioner, and with the governor's office, with the attorney general, with the insurance commissioner. Everyone in the state government is working on this, but may I just say that I really think it's important that you pass this resolution, because I think the people in the community want the board, this is what I'm hearing anyway, they want the board to take a position on this and to state it clearly. And I think this does.
Thank you, Marjorie. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, certainly I agree. And I do want to emphasize that, maybe there's some from the heart, but most of this is pretty cut and dried logic and history. The history of taking people over and saving their lives. We're not going to change that. We're very grateful for that. We want it to continue. And we want it to continue in a way that's non-prejudicial to any particular ailment. I mean, I can't imagine. I can't imagine.
Jay, could you mute,
yeah,
please?
Not
the dog, your screen. Mute your screen until you
need to talk. Gotcha. Hang on.
Yeah. I was just going to say, and I think this is this came up earlier, that you really can't take these diseases individually and say, we're going to carry this one, but not that one. You either carry sick people or you don't. And if don't is the answer, that's the wrong answer too. And that's not what I'm pushing for. I just want to come to an agreement that these are issues that we ought to resolve, and that we've got some really good reasons to do so.
Donna?
Well, the way I look at it, we are the town and we are CTC. We're the community of Shebig, and we must work together to figure out how to go forward. There's no question about it. And I guess I'm concerned that there could be unintended consequences if we don't know legally, if we don't really understand about the insurance issue. And this is way over my head. It's not like that woman that floats around on TV. And that's why I guess I can't vote for anything until we talk to the attorney, because I just don't feel like I have the understanding, the expertise. I'm hearing one thing from the Coast Guard in one place and something from the Coast Guard someplace else. And there are unintended consequences if something happens. CTC is our lifeline, literally, both with rescues and getting back and forth. There are many people who live in this community who wouldn't live here if they had lived in the transportation system I grew up in. And I think if people are honest, they know that. We are very lucky to have what we have. And my concern is, are we going to get ourselves into a position where we ourselves, who are the transportation company, come back and we find that we don't have insurance, and then what do? And that's why I really think that we need to get some legal advice.
Other discussion from the board?
I don't disagree that we maybe should seek legal advice, but it seems so cut and dry to me. Another issue that I think is important is the proclivity of people to want to get on whatever that alternative vessel is. And if they're going to be hesitant to call in sick, as it were, and to get the rescue there. I can envision a situation where somebody waits too long and the disease progresses to the point where the rescue is not going to be as efficient or effective had they gotten them to the hospital a day or two or three earlier. This is what people expect to do, and I really think we should offer them that ability to do so.
Okay. More comments from the board? Okay, I will open this up to the public at this point. Carol's raised her hand. Carol?
Sebastianski?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. We have been working on a plan to try to get people off the island. Not a good solution, but it's the best that we can come up with, just to let you know. We're working to launch the barge early and take people in their vehicles to the mainland for testing. This is what all other ferry companies are doing. Well, not all of them, but this is what the ones who have the ability to transport the car without exposing crew and other passengers to potential virus are doing. So we are working right now and have been for several days to get an okay for our insurance company that we can transport vehicles with a person who is suspected or thinks they might have the virus and want to go to the mainland. And I can tell you that we're getting a lot of pushback from our insurance company. So that's an indication of, and people may say insurance be damned, but if we don't have insurance, we don't have the CTC transportation company. So we are working to try to see if we can at least offer that to the community, to transport people on the barge so they can go in their own vehicle for testing and not have the potential of contaminated other passengers or the crew. And as of right now, the insurance company has said no, but we are working and keep going back to them to try to get them to agree to let us do that.
Carol, has the state offered you any assistance in that endeavor?
No. The state is trying to understand the situation. So they're not at the point of offering us any assistance. I can tell you, I don't know if I should tell you this, but we have been in contact with, let me just say this, all the marine insurers are looking at this. They're excluding COVID-19 from their renewal policies, including the state of Maine, potentially. So it's a whole different world, and it's not a small issue. If you don't have insurance, you don't have a ferry company. And I'm just really concerned that people minimize it when there are other ways to transport emergency patients. For example, I was on a call with other Maine ferry companies. The state of Maine does it through transporting the vehicle, as I just laid out. Matinicus Island has no option. They have nothing. They have no way to get people off that island. We have Long Island. We have the Coast Guard, who wants us to call them, and potentially the Portland Fireboat if anybody contacts them. So, you know, it's a big deal, but we have to be concerned about our insurance. Without insurance, we don't have a ferry company. And people need to understand that. They can say insurance be damned, but you have to deal with the reality of the situation. The marine insurance industry is in turmoil right now. And we are on the phone multiple times a day with our agent, who is doing the best he can for us. So
Carol, let me ask you a question. Is the worst outcome for you, the worst of the worst happens, and you aren't insured, and CTC goes bankrupt? Is that the worst outcome?
Oh, yeah. If we lose our insurance, the bank will call, we will be in default on our loan for the Independence, which is $950,000. So I'm pretty much guessing that's going to do the best, you know, unless there's somebody on the island that wants to pay $950,000. I've talked to the bank. I've talked to the insurance company. That's the situation.
So that's the fear.
It's not a fear, Herb. It's a reality.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Carol? Okay. Thank you, Carol. Any other hands? Carol White has her hand up. Carol, are you there?
Yeah.
Carol White? Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So, I mean, I'm fed up with this. The reality is the scientific facts are you can't tell if someone is COVID-19 positive. Listen to the Maine CDC, the CDC, there's no way to tell. 25 to 50% of the people that are positive are asymptomatic. So this is not like, you know, because somebody's coughing, they're COVID-19 positive. So, you know, this policy or this position does not make sense. And the other thing is, it's very frustrating to me, the members own, it is our company. It's not three or four people. It doesn't belong to the board. It's our company, and there's a risk no matter what we do. But I am not going to risk the people of Shebig, Ralph, Doug Ross, Steve Alfont. I'll take the insurance risk before I risk their health and safety to transport a sick patient. I just cannot believe we are having this conversation. The people are way more important than a goddamn insurance policy. And the rescue tells us that this is the safest way to transport people. It's the way they've been doing it for years. And I cannot accept that we will put them at risk or the patient because of an insurance policy. And I am a member of the Shebig Transportation Company, just like everybody else. And I just cannot believe it. I cannot believe we're having this discussion. So that's my thoughts on the matter. And I think our highest priority should be the health and safety of our rescue, because they are the ones taking the huge risk. Forget the friggin' insurance risk. They're taking a personal risk to their health to transport any patient, because any patient could be COVID-19 positive. That's a fact.
Done. Okay, thank you, Carol. Let's try and keep it civil, folks. Steve Affont, we're not going to spend too much more time on this. I'm just warning people. Go ahead, Steve.
Thank you. Just again, to reiterate, the EMS team would never put anyone else in harm's way to save someone else. And then again, to repeat myself, the EMS team on Shebig does not divulge why that patient, that 911 patient, is being transported. So I don't know, I still to this day do not know how CTC feels that it knows that the EMS team is bringing a COVID patient. It is not required, our EMS team is not required and does not divulge why we're transporting a 911 patient. So that's what I want to say. And then as far as the captain and the crew, their responsibility and role is to maneuver that vessel and get it safely to the other side. They do not have interaction with the rescue of the patient from a patient standpoint. Their job is to manage the boat, so they would not have interaction with the patient. Thank you again.
Thank you, Steve. And Carol Stabetsky-Ansi has her hand up again. I think this is the last comment we're going to take before we vote. You keep bouncing around there. Hold on.
Can you hear me?
We can now, yes. Go ahead.
Okay, so apparently Steve is not familiar with the protocol. Ralph has already put in a protocol where the dispatch tells us if it's a potential COVID-19 patient or not. He put that protocol in when he said we were going to transport by Long Island. So I'm sorry, Steve, if Ralph hasn't told you that. You clearly don't understand the liability that captains take as individuals. And it's not about them being exposed. It's about people on that boat being exposed. So I think there's a real lack of knowledge and understanding of our situation. And I agree 100% that CTC has not communicated to the community what the issues are. But I
would ask Carol at a minimum that you communicate them to the town, communicate the people who are trying to communicate to you with the town. Okay. We are going to take a vote now. Okay. Okay, so if everybody would be unmuted, I will take a roll call vote. Is everybody clear on the motion? Yes?
Could you reiterate it?
The motion is to adopt the resolution as read earlier and was emailed to everybody earlier.
Okay.
And was shown on the screen.
Okay. I'll call a roll. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
No, because I think we should go to the town.
Mr. Dyer?
No.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes. Passes 3-2. Okay. You have another resolution. Mr. Hill, you're muted.
Yeah, I'm just getting up the resolution here.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Okay, it's this part here, Declaration of Appreciation. On behalf of the citizens of Chibig Island, Maine, we hereby express our sincere appreciation to Janet Mills, Governor of the State of Maine, and to all the state people and departments who are working towards securing safe transportation for COVID-19 patients from the unbridged island of Chibig to the mainland for emergency medical care. We pray that such transports will never be necessary, but if they are, we know that this critical transportation link will help to save lives. And I will make that a motion for adoption by our Board of Selectmen.
Okay, is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Is there discussion on the motion? Donna, sorry.
Again, I'm going to vote no because I want to talk to the town attorney.
Further discussion? Okay. I will open discussion up for this motion and this motion only, which is to support the resolution in appreciation for the state participation in our endeavor to solve EMS transport problems. Is there anybody from the public who would like to speak on that? Okay, I don't see any hands. David, do you see any hands? Just want to confirm. You see any hands up, David, on the attendee?
I do not.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I'll take a roll call vote. Mr. Corson?
Yes.
Ms. Damon?
No.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes, passes 4-1. Thank you. Okay, so the next topic is the one I added based on Julia Main's email to us, which is a discussion of the emergency management ordinance. And again, I will leave it to the board what action you want to take on this. I'm going to try to put that up on the screen. Have it here somewhere. Okay. I'm going to share my screen. And David, if you would look for, in case I don't see it, if you would look for hands from the board. I don't see everybody's image necessarily when I have my screen shared. So if I need to do, I need to recognize a board member.
Yeah, I may not, depending on what it looks like on my screen, I may not have that capability either, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, let's see.
I'll be right back, Herb.
Okay, thank you, Mark. What are people seeing?
Just the top ruler.
I'm trying to share. Try it again.
It says Carol White public statement.
I hit the wrong button. Yes. In case I had to read that. You shouldn't be seeing the emergency management ordinance. Do you not see that?
There it is.
Okay. Okay, so let's go back up to the top. It probably makes sense. It's 5 pages long. I'm certainly not going to read it all. I'd like to bring your attention to a couple of points and get a feel for it. Has the board all read this document at some point in the recent past few weeks?
I haven't read it lately.
Okay. I would recommend that we do that. So the purpose of this ordinance is to establish an emergency management team in compliance and in conformity with the provisions of that state statute. So the definition of an emergency management team means the entire group of the town of Chepeague Island's departments working under this ordinance for the preparation for the carrying out of emergency functions. It goes on to say to include the kinds of disasters that are foreseen but not limited to that, and the kinds of functions without limitation as well. My reading of it certainly puts the current pandemic puts the pandemic squarely under this ordinance if the board chooses to invoke it. The emergency management team forces, okay, shall mean the employees, equipment, and facilities of all town of Chepeague Island departments, boards, institutions, and commissions, and in addition, it shall include all volunteer personnel, equipment, and facilities contributed by or obtained from volunteer persons or agencies. And one would expect that the EMS transport might come under that. But that's state statute. And as Carol pointed out, Carol Sebastian, as you pointed out, I don't know how that fits into maritime law. And that's for somebody with some expertise to discuss. I'm just pointing out what this ordinance says. Its purpose is certainly to muster whatever resources we need to keep people safe. The director means the director of the town of Chepeague Island's emergency management team as appointed and prescribed in this ordinance. Disaster is the list that Julia actually quoted in her email, I think verbatim, I didn't check. But that's what she said she was doing.
She did.
The organization, this basically says this is what we're going to do. The town administrator, so here's what kicks it off. This is what should be in place. The town administrator shall appoint an emergency management director. And I don't believe we have that position appointed at the moment. The default scenario for non-emergency circumstances is certainly the fire and rescue chief in practice. And that's the way we've been working so far. The emergency management director shall coordinate the activities of all town departments, organizations, and agencies for civil emergency preparedness within the town and maintain a liaison with other emergency management agencies, public safety agencies, and have such additional duties as prescribed by the town administrator. So that is that basically describes the fire and rescue chief, but augments it a little bit. Coordinating the activities of the whole of all town departments is a little outside that bailiwick. Rules and regulations. So the emergency management director shall prepare under the direction of the town administrator such policies that are deemed necessary. The emergency proclamation. So this is what would initiate this town ordinance. The town administrator shall have the power and authority upon consultation with the selectman chair to issue a proclamation that an emergency exists whenever a disaster or civil emergency exists or appears imminent. Proclamation may declare that an emergency exists in any or all sections of the town. If the town administrator is temporarily absent, then it can be a designee. And if the designee is not there, then it goes down the list at the bottom of the paragraph, the emergency management director, the fire chief, the EMS chief, the police chief, and so forth. So it gives the hierarchy, and the board of the selectman chair is not in that list. but several other people are. Notwithstanding the above, when consultation with the selectman chairman would result in a substantial delay in the effectiveness, it can be done anyways. The termination of the emergency says that the town administrator will declare when the emergency is terminated. Here's a statement right here that would come into play if we wanted to invoke this right now. No state of emergency may continue for longer than 5 days unless renewed by the Board of Selectmen. So if we wanted this to last for a month, we would have to convene every 5 days and renew it based on the language here. Town administrator duties and emergency powers. During any period when an emergency proclamation is in effect, the town administrator may implement rules and regulations as he, she deems necessary to protect life and property and to preserve critical resources within the purposes of this ordinance. Such regulations may include, but are not limited to, regulations prohibiting or restricting the movement of vehicles in areas within or without the town, regulations facilitating or restricting the movement of persons within the town, regulations pertaining to the movement of persons from hazardous areas within the town, such other regulations necessary to preserve public peace, health, and safety. So nothing in this section shall be construed to limit the authority and responsibility of the department or any department to proceed under powers and authority granted to them by the state statute. In other words, if the fire chief has certain powers granted by state statute, this does not supersede that. The town administrator and his or her designee may order the evacuations of persons from hazardous areas within the town. Town administrator or his or he designee shall be authorized to request aid and assistance from the state or any political subdivision of any state and may render assistance to other political subdivisions under the provisions of Title 37B. Town administrator may obtain vital supplies and equipment without using any protocols that are put in place. Provision of this section will terminate at the end of the declared emergency. Emergency operations director shall prepare a hazard emergency operations plan for the town. It shall be the responsible of all municipal departments and agencies to perform the functions. So this talks about a plan that needs to be put in place. And I think we actually did that many years ago, although it hasn't been reviewed. Immunity from liability. So here's a place to think, and I agree that we need legal consultation on this. If the CTC were to be acting as a part of the emergency team force, as described above, by providing volunteer equipment and labor, if that's the definition of that, then all emergency management team forces, while engaged in emergency management activities, shall be immune from liability as set forth in Title 37B, Section 82 MRSA. Compensation for emergencies. All emergency management team forces appointed to specific functions, whether paid or volunteer, shall be deemed to be employees of the town of Shebiga Island when engaged in training or on duty, and shall have all of the rights of town employees and will be covered by the town of Shebiga Island's workers' compensation insurance for the duration of the training of the incident. All persons responding to assist the town of Shebiga Island as part of mutual aid agreements will be covered by their employer or by the state of Maine. So it depends on whether that mutual aid is usually with another town, not with a private entity, but I don't know. So these are questions, not answers. The violation of any of these things I thought it said it was a Class C penalty. Yeah, it's a Class C penalty with fines and fees. Severability is the usual thing. If one part of this ordinance is illegal, the rest, it doesn't make the whole ordinance illegal. And then if any other or ordinances enforced, local ordinances, I presume, that's the only kind there are, then if they're inconsistent with this one, then this one takes precedence. So that is sort of the whirlwind tour of probably the biggest tool we have in our tool. tool chest for the closest tool we have in our tool chest, let's say, to respond to an emergency. And it certainly does rise to the pandemic. I think Julia had it highlighted in her email, but there's the word epidemic right there, which epidemic and pandemic are different only because a pandemic means the whole world, and an epidemic is more localized. So this is the tool. We probably need to consider what our criteria is. Now, the way it's worded, it's only the town administrator that really needs to push the button on this and invoke it. But I think we all need to understand, I'm putting that right in here. So the town administrator shall have the power and authority upon consultation with the chairman to issue a proclamation. Theoretically, the way I read this ordinance, the town administrator can issue this proclamation and invoke this. Whether we want to do that at this point or another point, what protections it really would give anybody working under us is a matter for somebody to research and look into. But it is the tool that is the closest tool we have that we can invoke to do anything more than our ordinary powers allow, which is basically, in this case, powers of persuasion. I mean, we have no power with CTC or with any other organization other than the power of persuasion. This could potentially change parts of that. It's still obviously we don't take control of CTC under this scenario. But maybe if we invoke this, CTC has some protections that they don't have now. So that's my spiel on it. I would entertain questions, discussions, perspective for any motions. Donna.
Yes. I think this is a huge step, and I think that we really need to have, I'm not prepared to think to vote on this tonight. I mean, we really need to think about the unintended consequences. As I read that, that means the town could take over the rec center and turn it into a hospital. I mean, it has, I guess the question is, what is it we really worry, what are we worried about in addition to the CTC question? Would this give us the ability to make people stay in their houses? Would it, you know, I just think that once you open up this box, it's like Pandora's box. I mean, it can go in 50,000 different directions, and I don't know if it is would help or it's just going to make people more anxious or more confused. I guess I would want to weigh the costs and benefits of doing this versus following what the governor is saying versus is there some interim step that we can take to limit people moving around or people getting here. I mean, this is when you actually go through it and you think about it, the implications are huge. And the responsibility on the town administrator and whoever this person is, the emergency management director, who they look at when they list the people, it's not the fire chief or the EMS chief. We don't even have anybody in that position. We don't have a plan. We're not great at some of our plans we haven't been great at. I mean, I just think we need to think about it. And I still am saying we need to talk to the town attorney, but I'm not ready to go to do this yet. I mean, I think there's things that we can talk about later. There's some really good strategies and things like the Casco Bay Lines and stuff like that with the freight. But this just opens everything up to, I don't know what. So anyway, that's just my own personal feeling that I'm not prepared to vote on anything like this tonight.
Thank you. Other questions, comments, perspectives from the board? Jay?
Well, I don't disagree with Donna. It may be premature, but it also may be a tool that we need at some point, and I'm sure we can come back to it. But on the other hand, if you look around the nation and see how many states, much less towns, counties, etc., have declared emergencies so that they can do what they need to do, we don't know what we need to do yet. And I don't think anybody's going to be running off half-cocked on the basis of this proclamation until we have good reason to do so, and then we'll have that tool at our disposal. So I'm reluctantly inclined to say let's adopt it and make sure that we do have the power to do what needs to be done when it needs to be done. And I don't know what needs to be done or if it needs to be done today, tomorrow, or the next day. But as I say, I think it'd be a good idea to have that in our pockets.
Okay, thank you. Jay, you can go now.
Yeah, thank you. I forgot to unmute before. I just want to clarify one thing. This happens at the discretion of the town administrator in consultation with the chair.
That's the way I read it.
That's what I thought. So I'm kind of curious, and it lasts 5 days. So it's a very short-term process. And the city of Portland's using this right now, by the way, if I understand it right. But I'm curious as to what Marjorie thinks. It strikes me that we don't necessarily need it right this moment in time, but I'd like to hear what she has to say.
You're on, Marjorie.
I'm just not sure what it would change. I mean, Ralph is the emergency management director and I'm the town administrator, and we're dealing with things as they come up. What do you see this changing? Our powers in our negotiations with CTC? Is that what you're thinking?
You addressing Jay or anybody?
I guess that's what I'm thinking about. What would this change?
I think one thing I would like, I'll respond then you can, Dave, David. I think one thing we need to investigate is that sort of that very fact. It does imply that once somebody is part of the emergency management team force, or whatever the definition is up top there, that certain protections that the town enjoys that a private company or a 501c3 organization like CTC doesn't enjoy, whether those would be an advantage in this situation or not is not for any of us sitting around this table to say or understand. But it certainly is the intent of the ordinance, and apparently I have to say I haven't read the statute that it references, Title 37B. But certainly the intent is that it extends in an emergency situation certain immunity from liability to members of the emergency management activities team forces. So that would seem to me like the closest thing that I've seen that we can offer CTC as a mediating factor. And again, I have no idea if it's applicable or if maritime law is going to cut it down. And none of us here on this call have that expertise. But answering that question would give us more information and give CTC more information on that particular issue. So that's basically the only thing. I mean, unless you want to invoke these powers here to restrict vehicles and persons, you know, and we can get into the enforcement question and, you know, how would it really work and all of that. But I don't think we need to. I think you are correct, Marjorie, that we are working, we have been working under this model from the very first day. And you and Ralph have been the central players in that. And we took our direction initially when we started talking about this, you know, from this ordinance and from an emergency response. So we are working under the model, even though we haven't invoked it anyway. So I agree with you on that. And I also agree that we probably don't need to talk about, we don't need to invoke any of these four things right now. And if we did, you know, it would be a limited time. We can't do what the governor just did and do a proclamation for the rest of the month.
Could I suggest that I review those statutes with our attorney and get some advice? So.
Yeah. And if you think the whole board needs to hear that advice, then I would take Donna's advice and let's set up an executive session and get our attorney's advice. I'll leave that discretion up to you. At least I will. The board can vote otherwise. David, go ahead. Thank you.
Yeah, I would agree with that approach, Marjorie. And what I would suggest is, assuming that the answer comes back from the attorney appropriately or in line with what I'm about to suggest, is that we as a board reaffirm this policy and leave it to you and the chair to invoke it as necessary. So it'd be kind of, as I say, just kind of backing up the actions before they need to be taken. Because I agree, I don't think there's anything, I forgot about the 5-day thing. I don't think there's anything that really needs to be done that quickly.
Okay. Mark.
Thank you, Herb. And where do we think we might be able to get the advice or opinion from of whether this sort of declaration may have some benefits with our specific ongoing pending issue with transportation of COVID-19 individuals?
I would think our attorney would be the first stop.
And not the state or the governor's office.
Well, we've already asked them for assistance.
Okay.
I could ask the governor's office what they think about this, but I think we need to get some advice. Somebody that's working specifically for Town of Chabig Island.
Yeah, my only rationale for my question was, I think it might have some value, like Herb was saying, if we could get any type of clarification, either legally or from the state, of whether that would have some benefits for us if we declared this ordinance in any form. Thank you.
Okay. Donna, go ahead. Donna, you're muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Is it appropriate to have a motion?
I would entertain a motion.
Okay. All right, I would move that we ask Marjorie to set up an executive session with our town attorney for legal advice.
Regarding this particular thing?
Regarding this and our response to COVID-19. I think I would make it broader than just this.
Okay.
Because I really feel like, personally, I want to hear it myself. This stuff is really important, and I want to really understand. I don't want to hear it second or third hand.
Okay, I understand the motion. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
Okay, is there discussion on the motion? Okay, is the board okay if I don't open this up to public comment?
Yes.
Or would you like this?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Okay. Okay, I will take a roll call vote then. Mr. Corson?
I vote no.
Okay. Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Mr. Main votes yes too. Passes 4-1. Thank you.
Thank you.
We done with this agenda item?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. Okay, now my notes get a little bit foggy. I'm going to stop screen sharing. Okay, so I think we're down to the couple of items on Carol's list. We didn't talk about the COVID-19 notification from the state independently. It didn't come up under the resolution as I thought it might. I'd like to have you reiterate that the information that you have on our notification from either CDC or other other state agencies on COVID positive tests.
I don't understand the question.
Julia brought up in her email, and you've referenced it a couple of other times.
I thought that I had addressed that with Julia.
You did. I just wanted to reiterate it.
So I first put a question out to the other Southern Maine managers about, you know, how would we learn if there was a positive COVID-19 case in our town? And I heard back from the Cumberland County Emergency Management. I can't remember his name right off the top of my head. And he said that all of that reporting is done through the county. And it goes to the HIPAA rules about, they can't really identify a person's name, and they can't just call a municipality and tell them that there's a positive or involve any person's name. So anyway, all of that reporting is done through the county. Is my answer jumbled or is that clear?
It's done from, so CDC informs the county? Is that, who informs the county?
Maine CDC.
Okay. And it's their lab that actually does the final confirmation, right? It's an internal thing to them.
I'm sorry if I'm not being clear.
No, you're clear. Donna, we didn't hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I thought she was very clear. I understood what she was saying.
Yeah, I did too. I appreciate your reiterating it at this point.
Are you going to take up that memo from Jay Corson? Was that on our agenda?
Oh, I went right over it. Jay, you let me go right over it. Yes, we certainly are. There's no action to take on the notification issue, right? Everybody understands where we're at with that?
Yes.
Okay. Jay, I apologize.
That's okay.
Go right ahead.
As I put together something, and I've talked to David about it somewhat and to her a little bit, called Transportation and COVID-19 Update for Chibig Island. Has everybody seen a copy of that?
I can put it up if you want.
Thank you. Yeah, if you could, yeah. I would have to have a prayer doing that.
Yeah. All right, hold on.
Marjorie, you look like you're asking.
Marjorie, you're muted.
I was just hearing some feedback from somebody that isn't muted or something. It was just loud.
Somebody get their phone on too? I didn't hear it at all.
Yep, that's the top part of it. Good. There we go. Okay. I don't know. Has anybody read this before?
I read it in the packet, yes.
Yeah. Okay. The idea basically was just a general update as to where we stood in our conversations with CTC. Basically, I just took what's there from the minutes of the meetings and the tape recordings of the meetings, and tried to verify so that everything was, you know, accurate. And also just a reminder about some of the things that we need to make sure that we do in terms of protecting ourselves and and the process involved with things and where we stand in terms of how do you get to the mainland if you need to go for a test. And it was something that I wanted to put up on either the town webpage or maybe with a little more editing on the town's webpage and wherever else it might go.
What kind of editing do you envision? vision.
I just a little punctuation maybe and a little grammatical, just to make sure.
Okay.
But it's pretty much.
Questions for Jay? Mark?
Thank you, Jay. This looks good first glance. The only question I would have, or question slash suggestion, in your first paragraph it says, rescue, sort of in the middle, rescue patients with COVID-19 symptoms will be transported on the Long Island Fire and Rescue boat. My question is, are we in a position to suggest how people would go for a test if they did not require 911?
Yeah, the test, I covered that a little further down somewhere. Basically, if you want a test, you go get down on the Casco Bay lines and go into Portland.
Oh, sorry, I guess I missed that. Okay, so that's the test.
Where is that, Jay?
Pending. So, sorry,
Mark. I do want to find that.
Wait a second.
It's the next paragraph.
It's right here, in the middle, second paragraph.
Yeah, there. Second paragraph. If you've been directed by your personal care physician to go to the mainland for testing,
okay,
please use the Casco Bay Lines ferry and follow their instructions until we are able to resolve the transportation issues.
Okay, yeah. Thank you. Go ahead, Mark.
So that's really all that we're saying right now to the public. And my question is, with the Chabig Boyard vessel being up at the Stone Wharf, what's the purpose of that vessel being up there?
I think that
Let's let Marjorie address the question.
Yeah, okay.
I don't mean to get too technical.
That's all right. Marjorie, do you have an answer for Mark?
Well, when CTC said that they weren't going to transport certain patients, we put it there for an emergency basis, so if we needed it. So it's really kind of a last resort. But we felt like we needed something there. If we needed to transport somebody. And is some of the things that I'm reading in this memo, today we put up instructions for what to do if you're sick on our website. I don't think we should say that we're definitely transporting on the Long Island boat, because we don't know that. I mean, it's up to rescue how someone is transported. It may or may not be the Long Island boat. And we've just posted a lot of information for the community on what to do if you're sick and other, a lot of general information about what to do, about getting food and a lot of, I don't know. A lot of information, a lot of information for the public just went up on our website.
Okay. Mark, you still have the floor if you want to finish up.
No, I think I'm okay for now.
Okay. Donna, you got your hand up?
Yes, I do.
Go ahead.
Because Marjorie's right. She's been doing a great job. Her memo yesterday was good, and some of it's kind of duplication. And maybe what we should do is refer this to Marjorie and the communications committee and see what they think should go up there. Because I agree with Marjorie. I don't think we can say for sure they're going to go on the Long Island boat because it may not be available. And some of it may be too specific when we're using people's names of who calls the governor and that kind of thing. I'm not sure.
Sorry, that was supposed to be edited out.
Okay, that's what I mean. I think it needs to go back and have the sentence about, like, the virus, it works in progress. I know it's very kind of literary, just the way you've written it, but I'm not sure that should be in a formative. What we've been trying to do is have just kind of the Joe Friday message, just the facts. So maybe Jay needs to work with Marjorie and Erica and Beverly and Lila and whoever's working on that to see if there are certain things that maybe should go into that, you know, the regular update.
Let me ask you this. Are there any, I mean, could this be used, how do I phrase this? Are there any sentiments in here that the board does not share as a whole? I mean, do we kind of agree with everything that's been said here, just maybe the way it's been said or the delivery? Or, I mean, you know, we're trying to give, I think Jay is trying to give people some assurance that there is a plan in place to transport COVID-19. I mean, the intent of all these things, is there any problem with the intent of what Jay's trying to do here?
Well, I think Marjorie basically told that in her memo. I mean, what this does is it goes into the whole CTC question. And if we want to inform the public about that, then maybe we are explicit and just come right out and say it. Because this is about CTC, and we want to have a statement about our negotiations with CTC. Then that should just be a succinct something that's what it's about.
Okay. I don't disagree with that. I think a statement from the board that summarizes those things and what our next step is would be great.
Sorry.
Okay. Further, do we have a motion, or you've just presented this so far?
So far, I just presented it.
Okay. Is there a motion?
Donna? I'm not going to make a motion, but one more thing I think we need to talk about, and later on when it comes up in the agenda item, you know, we have plan A, which is our best plan, which would be if we could work it out with CTC. We have plan B, which is our best plan, which is Long Island, if they're available and they'll do it. And I think that we need to be talking about what are some C's and D's if A and B aren't available. So maybe we wait and see, maybe we could just wait and actually have a motion after we have the discussion on other alternatives, because it might be something else we wanted to add.
To this document?
Yeah, well, I was just thinking, because I thought the idea, well, I guess my idea would be to send it to that committee. So maybe then I should make a motion of that we refer this to Marjorie and the communications committee to integrate it. But I thought you wanted a statement about something.
No. No, I'm asking for a motion. Is that your motion?
Ralph has his hand raised at the moment.
Well, thank you. I'm going to stop sharing and get back into the participants so that I can see what's going on out there. There we go. Okay with everybody. If I let Ralph speak, he left the meeting and coming back. Okay. Ralph, go ahead.
So we, just to let everybody know, to Donna's question, is we do have A, B, C, and D plans. We always have Long Island for the coronavirus type patient is going to be our first means of transport. If they're not available, that's why the Chibig Island Boatyard's there. Boatyard boat is at the Stone Pier. After that, then we would have to go with the Coast Guard or Portland. But that's down the line. But those have pretty much always been how it works. So that's nothing new.
Thank you, Ralph.
Yeah.
Okay. So is there a motion on the table? Is that your motion, Donna, to refer this to the committee?
Yes, because I think it needs to be kind of consistent. And I mean, they've been trying to do actual fact stuff rather than discussion stuff. So I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of. Either that or we wordsmith it tonight, which I don't think we want to do.
I'll second
the motion right now. Okay. Okay, thank you, Mark. So the motion is to refer this document to the committee for review. It would still come back, I presume, as a selectman statement.
If it's a selectman statement, you would vote on it.
Okay. So it would be to refer to the committee to come back to us to be adopted as a selectman statement. So that's the motion on the table. Is there discussion on that motion, further discussion that we've had? I will open that one up to the public. Is there public comment on what we're taking up here? I see no hands being raised. Okay, I'm going to close the public comment and take a roll call vote. Mr. Corson? You're muted, sir. Mr. Corson.
I'm trying to, there we go.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
And Mr. Main is a yes. Passes 4-1. Thank you. And thank you, Jay, for bringing that forward. I know you wanted to get it right out, but we've got this set up. We'll use it. Okay. Emergency management. So the two outstanding issues that I think we have here, if I can read my notes, are: does the board want to take, and let's maybe lump them into a single motion where we take up kind of any direction we want to give to service providers or the public. So I think that the things that Carol asked us to take up were the current activity at Casco Bay Lines when the boat comes in. She apparently heard of some, and I did too, actually. My daughter was down there trying to pick something up. About 20 people milling around on the dock. And I don't know exactly what the circumstances were, but are there any directives that we want, or recommendations that we want either to refer to the committee or to take up ourselves in a statement or to include in a statement, emphasizing things like, the least travel, the better. Or maybe, I think the bulk of the people down there were down there picking up groceries. Does the town want to offer some sort of grocery delivery service? We have employees like the bus driver for the school doing nothing at the moment. Do we want to employ a person to do something like that? Are there any creative ideas we can come up with to disincentivize the public from, gathering down there like that, or do we want to take it up at all? So I think that's, and then the other one is the day trippers. Are there any statements we want to make regarding, passengers coming out here on any of the various transportation services that might bring them out here, or anything else in terms of directives that this board or recommendations that this board wants to make? So I'll open it up. Donna.
Yeah, I thought that was a good idea about the delivery. My only thought would be, would that infringe on a private business that may already be doing some of that? That would be my only caveat. I do think that maybe you refer that to this problem to the committee, not just, the delivery is one thing. That would be something we would decide. But to come up with a protocol about what would work. Everybody stays up at the top, one person drives down at a time and gets their stuff after it's been unloaded. Explain about, Casco Bay Lines has been very explicit on their website and everything about they don't want people to interact with their crew. And Long Island has that on their website. And so, those are some information, those are some things that I think people aren't thinking about. So it's really two things. Do we want to have a delivery service, and do we want to refer this issue to the committee to see if they can come up with a protocol? Okay. Or do we want to do it?
Okay.
It strikes me that we have said in any number of places that people should maintain their distance. The main CDC every day on television for 45 minutes tells people keep your distance, and then they fill you in with some other facts and they tell you to keep your distance again. And you know, if people aren't going to pay attention, unless you're going to have somebody down there managing the delivery or the pickup, it's you have to give people some credit for having something of a brain to be able to follow some rational instructions.
Okay. I it's not like we had anybody down there, you know, observing it objectively to take, you know, to see if what kind of compliance we were getting. Maybe that's worth somebody's time to sort of go down there when a boat comes in and sort of observe it in that way. Just a suggestion. We're taking it up based on the letters that we received. Any further recommendations or any motions to make regarding any kind of directive the town may or may not want to put out at this point? Okay. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, I don't think it would be harmful for us to continue to encourage people who are not here to stay where they are because they're safer not traveling, and we don't have the infrastructure to handle, you know, many more people. And I know I put something on Facebook and had a lot of people write to me from all over the country that they thought I was courageous to do that. I don't think it took much courage to just say, I'm sorry I have to say this, but I'm telling my friends and family, don't come. And that was just me as an individual, and I said I was an individual, but.
So you know, we have said that to that effect in the statement that's up there.
Right, so I, you know, I don't know what else we can do. Okay. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to get at, is if you had some other suggestion. Yeah. Okay.
Jackie has her hand raised.
Yeah, okay. Are we done discussing this section as a board? Sounds like it. Okay, I'll open it up to public comment. Jackie Trask, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Yes.
A couple of things. One, I was over on the dock to meet the 2 o'clock boat. So I observed today there were no more than half a dozen people, and people were keeping their distance. But this discussion about the dock made me recall the first time in the summer that I went over, and I had not previously witnessed the crowds of people who were on the dock picking up their groceries. I think it was there were just crowds. I just couldn't believe my eyes. So that begs the question of the whole, you know, summer influx. And some of you are probably aware that apparently Vermont has closed all of its public lodging, has ordered that all of its public lodging, hotels, et cetera, be closed. So I just wanted to say that.
Okay, thank you, Jackie. Carol Sebastiansi has her hand up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, so a couple of things we're going to do is we're going to discontinue bus service from Route 1 to Cousins. I'm working through how we can make sure people who need the Route 1 lot can function. I've secured one lot near the ferry and another lot I'm working on. and it has to be done in a can't be a first come, first serve basis because that's not reasonable. We also are going to ask people who have more than one parking pass at Cousins to move one of the cars to Route 1 because so many people are not commuting anymore. To make more space at Cousins for people who need it on a day-to-day basis. So I'm working on those names and numbers right now, but we will be discontinuing our service, our bus service, and in the near future to try to protect everybody. The bus has very few passengers right now, but it does have some. So I'm trying, I need to figure out who really needs to be down at Cousins. So I just want to let you know that that's something else that we're working on.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so we are in discussion about any other items that the town may want to take. There was no motion, but we opened it up for public input anyways. Is there anybody else from the public that would like to speak about actions that the board should take? Seeing none, I will close that part. I guess one question I have for the board is, do you think we have addressed Doug Ross's letter by passing David's resolution? Does that address his letter to everybody's satisfaction?
I believe it was to Doug's satisfaction because I gave him a sneak preview of the motion that we passed.
Okay. So with that, I don't have any other COVID-19. Well, I guess I put the budget discussion up in there.
Herb?
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to report about my conversation with Nathan.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So I'm just going to read. I sent this memo out to the board. I'll read it for the public. Today I had a long conversation with Nathan Doughty. I had read that he had offered his lobster boat as a backup in case of a COVID-19 issue that couldn't be handled in any other way. I also understood that EMS chief had concerns about his offer. I wrote to the board of selectmen and Marjorie a few days ago asking about a follow-up. My thought was that someone could reach out to Nathan and find out what he was offering and that what EMS concerns were to see if the concerns could be mitigated. To my knowledge, I didn't get a response to my email. So I called Nathan this morning. He is definitely a plan C after Long Island, but if Long Island is plan B and the Coast Guard are unavailable. Nathan assured me that he gave me permission to share a conversation with the Board of Selectmen tonight. He assured me he can secure his stern. That was one of the concerns that Chief Monroe had, that he had an open stern and he has a way to block that off. And it would take a very short time, he talked in minutes, to install clips to hold the stretcher. This is a much better alternative to the boatyard work boat. The boatyard boat should not be taken out of the equation, but I'm not saying take it because that could be plan D or E or whatever, but it's small and iffy for a stretcher and less comfortable than Nathan's boat for an ambulatory patient, but it would be better than nothing. We need as many options as possible. Right now, until CTC works out its insurance issues, and with only four crew members on staff, we have no plan A. Hopefully, in the next few days, we'll have an answer. They will have an answer. They've been trying to find out about insurance and all of those related aspects. But until that time, I think we need to have as many tools in the tool belt as possible. I suggest that Marjorie and EMS sit down with Nathan Doughty and find out what he can provide, hear what questions he has, if EMS has concerns that can be mitigated, and work with him to come up with next steps. If Nathan's boat is viable for B, C, or D, Nathan and Marjorie could meet with the folks at the boatyard to arrange to have the boat launched ASAP. As I said, this is not ideal, but it is necessary in the event that a patient needed to be transported and issues have not been resolved with CTC's insurance carrier the crew gets sick or neither Long Island or the Coast Guard are available to respond. And Nathan is very willing to work with the town in any way. And I think that we should at least continue to talk with him because his boat is, it would be a lot safer to go over in Nathan's boat than it would be to go in the boatyard boat if we had bad weather.
Ralph has his hand up and I'm going to allow him to speak. Go ahead, Ralph.
Can you hear me now?
We can.
Well, I was wondering that after talking to the state that this would all be resolved, but it doesn't look like it's going to be that quick. Nathan's boat can probably be ready to go in pretty quickly, but I know the trailer is still being worked on. We still have a ways to go before we can use that to even launch the boat. But I absolutely think Nathan's boat would obviously be better than the boatyard boat. And maybe if we do a few more things to it, maybe we can use it instead of Long Island as well. I know there's a liability concern with Nathan, so I think we got to work on that. That's probably the only hurdle.
So structurally, Ralph, the EMS transport would be undercover on Nathan's boat and secured in a way that meets your requirements?
Not undercover. We might be able to do something there, but no, it would be open still.
I see. Okay. Other questions for Ralph? Go ahead, David.
Yeah, the liability issue, I think, hangs over us like a sword. And I'd like to know how in the world Nathan can get insurance when CTC can't.
He may not be able to. He may be just willing to take the risk. I don't know. We don't have those details.
May just have to, yeah.
Donna and then Mark.
I'll let Mark go first. I was going to make a motion, but.
Go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead with your motion, Donna. Thank you.
I move that we authorize the town administrator to contact Nathan Doughty and try to work out some of these details to the best outcome possible. To use his boat as an emergency, whether he leases it to us and we take the liability, that's not part of the motion. But think outside the box and see if we can make this work.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll go ahead and second it, even though I'm not sure Marjorie and Ralph need that authorization, but I'll second it for the conversation.
Yeah. Okay. Is there conversation? Is there discussion? Jay?
I'd like to pick up on what Mark just said. I think it's more than adequate to ask Marjorie and Ralph to see with Nathan what can be worked out. All we need to do is ask them to do it.
I would just add, I don't think we have to ask them to do it. Sounds like they're already doing it.
Yeah, so, right.
I'm not sure we need to do anything. But Mark, go ahead.
I would agree. I think what Ralph said makes sense, and it sounds like if we just sort of ask Marjorie and Ralph to revisit that possibility of that boat, I think that's good enough.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'll withdraw my motion. I just was trying to get something specific going.
Okay, thank you, Donna. David, go ahead.
Yeah, something that was just said triggered a thought. Is anybody checking with our insurance carrier to see if we can be co-insured with CTC for COVID-19 rescues?
Generally, we can't. We can't get insurance on something we don't own.
So maybe we buy the boat for a month or two. There's got to be a way around this. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm asking is maybe.
Well, that's why I said generally, yeah. It's just, you have to own something in order to have insurance on it.
Oh, I know. I understand. Yeah. I could put insurance on my neighbor's house, and when it burns down, I win. But I would think that there's a way to come up with some kind of an agreement. That again, these are strange times. Let's be creative with some better solutions.
What is the question you want?
The question is, how can we as a town assist CTC in procuring insurance for the transport of COVID-19 patients?
And I would like to sort of add at this point that, you know, Ralph and Marjorie have been working on this problem at the expense of other things they could be doing for preparing the rest of the town and other places for this emergency.
This has taken up way too much time.
And we have spent a lot of time as a board on it when we should be doing other things. So I really want to underscore that I believe there has to be a way to work this out. There is no safer, more immediate way. We have not trained on other boats. You know, our EMS crew is not, you know, is not used to other boats. There is no safer way to transport our patients, no safer way for anybody involved than to take them on the CTC ferries. And I think that really needs to be our priority effort. It's fine to pursue these backup efforts too, but I think we need to stay on that and solve this. And I have to believe there is a way. I just have to believe there is a way. The rest of the country, you know, companies and private entities that are, you know, provide essential services to communities are finding ways to do it. I think we really need to work together and do that. So I encourage our communications peoples to keep our communication lines open with CTC, and I encourage CTC to give us all of the information so that we do fully understand all of the circumstances and all of the problems, and can work collaboratively to maybe assist them. So with that, the only other issue I would like to take up at this point is a brief discussion on how this pandemic may change our look at the budget. And Marjorie, before we move on, could you give us a little synopsis just about the timing of preparing the budget? Now, you've just told us that we probably can move off the annual town meeting. From a practical sense, how important is it for us to address and finalize the budget?
Well, the governor has given us permission, if you will, to, if we don't have our town meeting before July 1st, then we just operate on the previous year's budget. That was part of her declaration. So we just need, if we get something ready for the town vote, I guess there's the question of how do we convene and a town meeting, you know.
Right. Yes. Presuming we can put it off, or presuming we will know the date certain at some point.
Okay.
How close are we to resolving the budget? I mean, from the operations side, we're pretty close. We've got new school numbers in there. You've given that.
I've got new school numbers. I don't think they've actually taken a final vote, but I do have final figures on the school. You were going to have a few more discussions about capital planning issues. I guess that's up to you all if you want to have more discussions. But you know, we've gotten the operating budget in there and reviewed that pretty. I think we're done with that piece of it.
Okay. So let me then ask the board. Thank you for that. So what I'm hearing from you is that whenever we set the date or whenever we can hold the annual town meeting, that we're close enough so that we should be able to wrap it up as a board, and you're comfortable that we're sort of near the end of that.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. That's what I was looking for. So then the question to the board becomes, understanding that there are going to be grave economic consequences to everybody in this scenario, and I'm not asking for answers tonight or even discussion if you don't want to. I'm just trying to plant the seed in your minds about when we do that budget, you know, should our goals change and shift a little bit? Should we think differently about it? So really, I'm just posing that question tonight. I'll take any discussion you want to give. Anybody? Mark.
Like Marjorie said, I think the operations budget is close enough and pretty much where it's going to be. The capital improvement budget would be the wild card, and I think we should keep a very simplistic, focused look at our capital budget, and possibly just include a couple of three new items, such as maybe the cardboard compactor, maybe widening the stone wharf road, something like that.
Okay. So I would ask you all, based on those two things, to at some point in the near future, I agree that it's probably not the highest priority for the town, but what I want to be able to do is sort of have a compassionate approach to that budget, and if we need to strip some back and defer some capital items in order to save people a few cents in their pocket, and we think that's worth doing, I just want to put you guys on the thought process of how we would do that fast and efficiently for our taxpayers. That's all I had, unless anybody else wants to weigh in on the budget concept or anything else, any other action you think we should be taking. Okay. So hearing now, we do have one order of regular business, and I will be happy if we can get back to some normalcy and sort of hit a stride here as a Board of Selectmen and keep the meetings to under 3 hours. I will be very happy about that, and I'm sure you all will too. So I would like a motion to approve the Selectmen minutes from 311, 321, and 325. David.
I move that the minutes of those three dates that you mentioned be approved.
Second, please. Jay, seconds. Visually, I'll take it. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, roll call vote. Mr. Corson, you'll need to unmute. Mr. Corson, Ms. Damon?
Yes.
Mr. Dyer?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes. Approval of the meetings from 311, 321, and 325 passes unanimously. I would... one piece of information I meant to say up front, but I was trying to get to Ralph before he had to leave. The school committee, David and I met Tuesday night, I think, last night, with Jeff Putnam, who asked if the school could use our Zoom account, the account that we're using right now. We agreed to that. And thought that made sense. The first time they did, he used the church's account, but our account having been raised to allow the public participation in the way that we are doing it was attractive to him. So David gave him a little dog and pony show and some instructions, and we did a little bit of experimentation and a little training with him so that he was comfortable using it. And my understanding is that he will be using the same meeting link right, as it stands right now, and using some credentials that David is providing him to do that. So we can't meet at the same time, in other words. We're using the same meeting identification number. So that's the way it's going to work, at least for the foreseeable future. David, do you want to add anything to that?
No, nothing except... I think I'm going to become the clearinghouse for Zoom meetings and make sure we don't have too many conflicts. Marjorie's laughing.
David, remember we have one tomorrow at 1 for the committee.
That's right.
I just got a note from Chris Loader that he was trying to get recognized.
Right. Right now he is.
Yeah, he was sending a chat thing and that's not, you know, the way to get recognized is to raise your hand. I do see his, I see Carol's hand up as well.
We have a motion on the table. We don't have any motion on the table. I was babbling. What's the board's pleasure?
Well, I would just open it up to any more comments before we adjourn.
Any objection to that?
As long as they're short.
Okay, I'm going to recognize first Mr. Loader. Chris, you're unmuted.
Thank you, board. To keep it very short, there are multiple municipal, private ambulance companies in the United States. A quick search has revealed at least 5 separate insurance companies for those companies. And really to Carol and the rest of the board, there may be a different company that can provide a rider that would free you from your direct marine insurance and may cover you, given that the boat is registered as an ambulance in a legal way. So just that's it.
Okay,
take a look around. There may be something else.
Thanks for your comment. I'm going to recognize Carol Sebastiansky. Go ahead.
Okay, so I've heard a lot of CTC comments tonight, ignorant comments and misinformation. So I suggest that the Board of Selectmen understand the situation we're in. And I agree that we have not provided information probably as clearly as we could have, but we are only looking at how we can continue to operate as the primary passenger ferry for Chibig for Chibig. I really take exception to many of the comments that have been made, and I would love to have the Board of Selectmen educate themselves before they make comments like they made tonight.
Got it?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay, well, I will reiterate that our communication lines are wide open, and we are happy to take any information you'd like to provide to us. So thank you. Okay, anything else from the board? We good for another motion to adjourn?
I'd be happy to make that motion.
Go right ahead.
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Jay seconded. All in favor of the motion to adjourn, roll call. Mr. Corson.
Yes.
Ms. Damon.
Yes.
Mr. Dyer.
Yes.
Mr. Hill.
Yes.
Mr. Main is a yes. Passes unanimously. Thank you all.
And you made it under 3 hours.
Right. I won't take credit for that.
You ran a good meeting, Herb. You did a good job.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for all of this. Good night.
Okay. Bye.